This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
But before we get to that, let's chat a little Virginia politics as we are wont to do on Monday afternoons with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com, the Dean of Political Scientists here in Virginia, the founder and president. And you can check him out online at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you today?
Absolutely. Good, good. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Bob, abortion. Deeds is talking abortion. Cree Deeds, a candidate for governor, Democratic candidate, Bob McDonald, a Republican candidate. What is this all with abortion politics in Virginia?
Well, this is a pretty interesting story that's going on here, Coy, because typically the Democrats haven't really gained that large an advantage in gubernatorial elections by running on abortion. In fact, since 1989, it's hard to see where they've really, truly benefited tremendously from this. But I think what Cree Deeds is trying to do is trying to excite the Democratic base, trying to point out a very significant difference between him and Bob McDonnell. And simultaneously, it's the kind of issue where he hopes he can scare some moderates, too, that particularly up in Northern Virginia, he's hoping that a lot of moderate voters, particularly women, will take a look at Bob McDonnell's record on abortion and decide that they don't want to take a risk with having McDonnell as governor. The challenge that Deeds has is that the one time this really had an impact in Virginia gubernatorial races was in 89 when Doug Wilder ran, but at that time people really thought that the Supreme Court was getting ready to overturn Roe v. Wade. So Deeds' challenge is to convince people that this is a truly important issue at the same time that Barack Obama is going to be appointing all Supreme Court justices for at least the next 3 years.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. I was talking with somebody recently, and they said, this is, you know, Deeds' base is asleep, and, you know, he needs to get them all fired up. So one way you get your base fired up on the left is to start telling them, hey, you might not be able to have the right to an abortion. You better get out there. And it gets people excited, wanting to work the phones and knock on the doors and work for his campaign.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, because there has been, what I've labeled the enthusiasm gap in this campaign. The Republicans seem to be far more motivated than the Democrats. The question is whether this is the issue that will motivate Democrats, because I'm not so certain that even if people believe, which is true, that Bob McDonnell is a very strong pro-life candidate, that they actually believe Roe v. Wade is under any kind of threat so long as Barack Obama's in the White House.
So, and this is, you know, we were talking earlier, Bobby, you were saying both candidates are still in search of a strong winning message. Is this Deeds sort of putting his toes in the water, in the message waters, trying to find something that'll get some traction?
I think it's one way that he's trying to do this. I think what he's attempting to do here is really to set up actually something a little bit broader and larger, Coy. And that is, he wants to make an argument that Bob McDonnell is painting himself as a moderate, but the reality is that he is somebody who is so conservative that he's outside of the Virginia mainstream. And I don't believe, and I spoke to the Deeds campaign last week, that they believe there's one you might call silver bullet message. What they seem to believe is that people are, at the end of the day, going to vote on who they think is the best candidate to lead Virginia forward. And so the Deeds campaign is starting here, but it's not going to stop here, with a set of messages that are designed to try to persuade Virginians that Bob McDonnell's not the moderate he's portraying himself as, but that he's an ideological conservative who, on many issues they're going to contend, is outside the Virginia mainstream. I don't think we're going to see a single issue campaign here or one single message dominating this campaign. It's really a campaign about who is the most appropriate leader for Virginia in an unsettled period when we really are worried about our own personal futures and what's happening to the economy at large. Who's the best leader for these kind of times? And that's the argument Cree Deeds wants to make, I think, is that he's more ultimately in the mainstream than Bob McDonnell. The dilemma, of course, Deeds has, is that no poll shows that right now at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have yet to see a poll that puts Deeds ahead of McDonnell, have we?
In fact, In the last couple of weeks, we haven't seen a poll that has Deeds close to McDonnell. Some of the better polls for Deeds have them 8 points down, 9 points down, and some other polls go up to 14 and 15 points down. So it's very early. Probably, other than the political junkies, the sane people in Virginia are on vacation. But there is a lot of concern in the Democratic ranks right now about the level of activity in the Deeds campaign and whether it's sufficiently energizing not only the independent voters, but even the Democratic base.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The website is virginiatomorrow.com. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon to keep us updated and informed about the very latest on Virginia politics. Bob, how successful do you think the Deeds campaign is going to be with that broad swath of independents in Virginia in convincing these people, and I'm one of them, you know, political moderate through and through, how are you going to convince us that Bob McDonnell is too far to the right for us, for Virginia?
Well, I think he's going to use a set of messages, as I said. I think abortion is going to be one message. I think, secondly, he'll be talking about McDonnell's position on the economic stimulus package, that the fact that he did not want to support some of the extension of unemployment insurance businesses going to Virginia. They're talking about the fact that McDonnell voted against some of the key initiatives of Tim Kaine and Mark Warner to provide an opportunity fund to attract business or to provide more funding through K-12 education. You're going to see this whole set of issues come into play. And at the end of the day, they're hoping they paint this picture of Bob McDonnell as someone who's a nice guy, a good man, but whose views really aren't held by the vast majority of Virginian independent voters. He hasn't been very successful so far. I think Bob McDonnell, in most of these polls, is running far ahead of Cree Deeds with independents. His positive-to-negative ratio tends to be almost 2-1, which is stratospheric for a hotly contested campaign. And it just shows that while there's plenty of time, there's also plenty of work for the Deeds campaign to still to accomplish.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, the Richmond Times-Dispatch has been writing about the Vita mess. What or who is Vita, and what is the mess?
Well, this is this information technology agency that was supposed to provide services, technology services, to all state agencies that was formed originally by Mark Warner at the beginning of the decade. And what has happened is that they entered into a public-private partnership with a major company in the United States, major global company, Northrop Grumman, to provide these information services for the state. And what's happened is that there has been all of these complaints, particularly by people in the state agencies, that Northrop Grumman hasn't met its obligations under the contract. And in fact, the head of Vita basically recommended withholding millions of dollars of payment from Northrop Grumman on the grounds that it hadn't met its obligations. He was then promptly fired by the board that runs the agency. Huh. And the Times-Dispatch has been running story after story about this, suggesting that, in fact, Lem Stewart, the man who was fired, was actually probably correct in that there was noncompliance with the contract. And then yesterday, two reporters, Olympia Miola and Jeff Shapiro, wrote this blockbuster story, I thought. If there's a Virginia Pulitzer, they should get one, in which they basically have a quote from a high official in the Kaine administration saying that they did not want to withhold payment on the contract despite non-performance because they were worried about retaliation from Northrop Grumman. All of a sudden, this took the saga into an entirely different atmosphere, you might say. We went from a kind of basic story, plain vanilla story about whether a company met its obligations under a state contract, almost into the realm of the techno thrillers.
Holy cow.
You know, now all of a sudden the state is paying millions of dollars out because it is worried about retaliation from a company that has a contract with. That it's claiming is not performing on the contract, that's hard to imagine, essentially in the best managed state in the country, that we win award after award, we've been a wonderfully managed state, and then all of a sudden we're making millions of dollars in payments because we're worried about retaliation. This is a bizarre situation, Coy.
It really sheds light on those awards we get for the best state to do business in. You get a state contract, you don't have to fulfill the contract, and you still get paid.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the really curious things about this is that it hasn't become, at least up to now, a huge part of the campaign. Jeff Shapiro wrote another fascinating column yesterday, essentially suggesting why that hasn't happened. I had called it, you know, why is this dog not barking? And Shapiro suggests that, in fact, there is some connection between some of the folks who have supported Northrop Grumman and some of the folks supporting the McDonnell campaign. I can't vouch, you know, for whether or not that is a valid interpretation. But what has struck me is that you have this mess of essentially historic proportions going on in Virginia, and almost no one raising the issue in a very strong way politically. I find it hard to imagine after Shapiro's story and Miola's story yesterday that it won't happen, that anyone can basically argue that the Commonwealth of Virginia should be worried about retaliation in deciding whether or not a vendor is fulfilling its contract.
And what alarms me most is that somebody was fired for speaking up and saying, wait a minute, I think we're wasting the public money here, taxpayer money here. We shouldn't be paying this this bill because the job hasn't been done. And that guy gets fired?
Yeah, and in fact, you know, the firing was defended by the governor personally on a number of occasions. And that since that time, you know, the dilemma is that he seems to have been proven correct, at least about the noncompliance. Now, whether or not withholding the payment or whether the amount he recommended withholding was correct, it just seemed to me this could have been handled far better than it has been. And now I think it is just striking and in fact, shocking that you would have a member of the governor's cabinet saying that we paid $1 million bill for a contract that wasn't in compliance because we were fearful that they might pull the plug on the state's computer system.
So that was my next question. What does Northrop Grumman have on Virginia that makes these folks so scared?
It's almost inconceivable to me that they could do that. And B, it's almost inconceivable to me that a company of Northrop Grumman's stature would even contemplate doing that.
Yeah.
You know, my sense is that at the end of the day, this company is going to want to make this contract work. It's not going to want to be in a situation with the 12th largest state in the country that is at total loggerheads. And it is stunning to me that state officials really felt that retaliation could be in the cards. And then I think equally, even more stunning, that a threat of retaliation would be a justification for making a payment.
Yeah, that is amazing. Well, and as far as the guy who was fired, we need more people like that in government to stand up and say, wait a minute, we shouldn't be cutting this check with taxpayer money if the job hasn't been done. You need more people like that to make government better. You don't need to fire those people. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, it's a bizarre, bizarre situation. As I said, you know, it was a complicated matter. It's a large contract. There's probably some fault, not only, I think, on Northrop Grumman's side, but you might be able to point to some state agencies as well. But to think that that's the way we handled it, and to think that you know, the quote in the article, the direct quote, was that there was widespread concern and fear that Northrop Grumman might be, you know, pulling the plug on the contract if they weren't paid. And
it almost approaches extortion, you know?
Well, they and no one has ever pointed to Northrop Grumman for doing anything, you know, so in some ways, you know, it's even soiling the name of the company.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You know, in which no one has suggested that it engaged in anything resembling this, but the thought that it might possibly do so.
That fear's coming from somewhere.
It came from somewhere. It came from, you know, within the state. And it tells you that, you know, this was supposed to be a public-private partnership. And, you know, it seemed to be anything but a partnership.
Amazing.
If that's the kind, you know, that's not how partners typically treat one another.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You can read more about this online at virginiatomorrow.com. There's links there to all the stories in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. The VITAMES, Virginia Information Technology Association. Amazing story, and we haven't heard the last of that. Bob Holsworth at virginiatomorrow.com joins us every Monday afternoon. Bob, thank you so much, sir.
Always great to be with you, Coy. You take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.